1 Corinthians chapter 13. We have some guests here tonight. We're glad to have them with us. We're glad to have all of you young people here. Let me let you meet my wife real quick, because you haven't yet. So, pal, I'm sorry, but would you mind standing just for a second? This is my wife, Mary, and we have three children. They're all grown and gone. Our oldest, Will, is the president of Bill Rice Ranch West Branch Ministries. And our second, Wendy, lives in Northern Virginia. Her husband is a lawyer. And the third, Wren, has written a lot of the music that you will hear here at West Branch this week. So that's our whole family. I've got a granddaughter here and a grandson here and a neighbor from on the ranch here this week. And we're all thrilled to be here at West Branch. And I'm glad you're here. God bless you. It's good to have you with us. Let's have prayer, and then we'll read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Father, help us tonight. This is important. So I pray that you'll help us to see what you've said and to understand it and to be able to recite it or to repeat it or at least to remember it so that we can live in light of it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're in 1 Corinthians 13. Remain seated tonight, because we're going to refer back to this passage on several occasions. Is this mic working? Are we doing fine? Okay, we are. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, look down at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, look down at verse... Oh, before we read, the word charity in 1 Corinthians 13 is our word in modern English, love. So we'll read charity, but you'll know that it means love. Fair enough? Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity, or love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not, itself is not puffed up. Verse 6. Charity, understood, or love, is not iniquity, but rejoiceth, or it rejoiceth not iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And then verse 13, the last in the chapter. And now these abide: faith, which is believing; hope, which is expecting or expectation; charity, which is love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, this is a passage often referred to when explaining to people what love is. Have you heard the teenage girl's definition of love? She may have been a blonde, but when asked, what is love? She said, love is a feeling that you feel when you feel a feeling that you've never felt before. Now that is truly rich, is it not? I could say that that's a good definition of sticking your finger in an electric light socket. But she said, love is a feeling that you feel when you feel a feeling that you've never felt before. And I do think that that silly definition of love does tell us how difficult it is for any of us to define love. So if I said to you, define for me love. You've heard people say, love is not a feeling. You've heard people say that. You've heard people say, love is a choice. This is one of my favorites. You've heard people say that in the Bible, when we hear about God's love, it is agape love. That is a Greek word. So what is love? Well, you can see what love does. In verse 4, the Bible tells us that love, actually there's two things in verse 4, but in verse 4, the Bible tells us that love is kind. Now, you could say gentle, but the word here is kind. So we're going to look at four things about love in this chapter tonight. This is the first, and I want you to learn all four. All right? So the first is, it's kind. I could say it's gentle, but love is kind. It's not unseemly, it's not untoward, it's not mean, it's not selfish. Love is kind. Then it says in this same verse, verse 4, love is not puffed up. We're not going to use the negative, we'll use the positive. So love is humble. Love is humble. So number one, in verse 4, love is, help me out, love is kind. Number two, in verse 4, love is humble. That means love is never found on Facebook. I get a kick out of Facebook. Actually, it often bugs me. Now, forgive me, I shouldn't say this, but it's true. Facebook is often all about the person who is on Facebook, is it not? It goes like this. This is Facebook. This is typical Facebook. Hey. Hey, look at me. This is me. This is a picture of me. You see it? Can you see it? It's me. Oh, I love it. This is me. Me. No, no. See, love is humble. And see the picture with my dog? Cute, huh? Really cute. My dog's cute too, isn't it? Huh? This is good. This, and wait for it. Wait, this is going to be hard to believe. This is me. Are you ready? This is me at McDonald's. Hey, how about that, huh? Me at McDonald's. Me with my dog. Cute. Me. Isn't this wonderful? Aren't you glad you have Facebook because you can see me? I just love it. It's all about me. Now, obviously, that's not what love is. Because love is kind and love is humble. Now look down at verse 6 and you'll see that love is all about truth. So number one, love is kind. Number two, love is humble. Number three, love is all about truth. Number four is down in the last verse in the chapter. When you see faith, hope, and love. Faith, believing, hope, expectation, and love. The greatest of these three is love. So here's what we've learned about love so far tonight. Love, number one, help me out. Love is? Love is also? Love is all about the? And when you're talking about faith and hope and love, the greatest of these three is what? Love. All right. Now, having read this and having seen this, let's just run through it again real quick, all right? Nobody here but us. Number one, love is kind. Number two, love is humble. Number three, love is all about truth. And number four, when you see love and you see faith, believing, and you see hope, expectation, the greatest of these three is always? All right, no, if I said to you then, tell me what love is, you couldn't. Because 1 Corinthians 13 does not define love. It tells you what love does. Now, we've seen four things. Love is kind, love is humble, love is all about the truth, and love is greater. And there are other things mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, but it doesn't define love. I always get a kick out of somebody, and forgive me, I shouldn't say it this way, but when somebody says, you know, love in the Bible is agape love. It's agape. We need to have a selfless love. Well, that's all true, but what is love in the first place? These are all modifiers. How many of you like English? Five. Okay. These are all adjectives or adverbs, and they all modify the word love. So they tell us what love does or what love is like, but they don't define love. Let me illustrate this quickly. Kurt, where'd you get to? Are you here? Could you come help me real quick? Could you just come help me? You can stand right behind the pulpit there. Would you mind that? All right. How old are you?
18.
18. And you will be a sophomore at Ambassador. So he goes to Ambassador Baptist College, which is in North Carolina. It's a great school, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
It's a good school. And we thank God for Ambassador. Its president, Dr. Alton Beale, spoke in Tennessee for us last week. And if you ever get a chance to hear him, he really is excellent. He does a great job. So 18 years old. He's now a sophomore in college. He's an ambassador of Baptist College. Now, I don't mean to be silly. This is for illustrative purposes. Pretend we're all from Mars, and we have never seen a person before. So that's what this is. This is a person. Now, I could say he's a man. I could say he's a college student. But for the illustration, this is a person. So this is what? All right. So if I said, define this object up here, O Martian people, you would say, that is a? All right. Now, suppose I said to you, what is this? And you said, well, he's kind. Well, fine, but what is he? Well, you say, he's humble. Well, great, but what is he? Well, you say, he's all about the truth. Well, that's good to me, but what is he? Are you following this? Well, you say he's greater than faith, and he's greater than hope. Yeah, I know, but what is he? See, when you've learned that he is a sophomore, you don't know what he is. When you've learned that he has big feet, you don't know what he is. When you've learned that he has, are they blue?
Sure.
You know your eyes?
Yeah.
They're blue, sure eyes. All right. So when you learn, but you haven't told me what he is. He is a person. Fair enough? Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate it. All right. Now, look. If I say to you, what is love? And you say, well, love is kind. You haven't answered my question. It is, but you haven't answered my question. If I say to you, what is love? And you say it's humble. That's true, but you haven't answered my question. If I say, what is love? And you say it's all about the truth. That's true. If you say it's greater than hope and faith, that is all true, but you haven't defined love. And so we go around in life saying this person is in love, not even knowing what it means. See, so what does love mean? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love does. Romans 13 tells us what love is. So turn to Romans 13. We're going to read a little bit longer, it's not real long, but a little bit longer passage, and I want to read, I think it's 6 or 7 verses. It's important. Start at verse 8. Okay, we're in Romans 13, verse 8. You ready? Okay. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another fulfilled the law. Now we have a hint of the definition in verse 8. Well, we're going to see it. Verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now let's stop here for a second. What do we call these statements? Don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. These are all part of the, all right, and the Ten Commandments are called together the law. Okay, so this is all about the law. Look down, if you would, at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Whatever love is, it works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is. Now, let me stop. This is really important. If I said, Kurt is, we're getting ready to define him. What is Kurt? Kurt is not kind, though he may be kind. Kurt is not humble, though he may be humble. He is. Kurt is not all about truth, though he may be truthful. What is Kurt? You'd say, Kurt is, and then often colon, a person. So look back down at verse 10. The Bible says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the Now read the next three words to me. Love is the... All right, here's what love is. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Now let me put that in modern day American English, all right? Love is doing what's right. Love is doing what's right. That's what love is. If you love a person, you do right by that person. Now, let me illustrate this. It's important. So let me illustrate this. You met Mary tonight. Okay, Mary and I have three children. I've already mentioned that. We've got nine children. I have not yet mentioned that. And we have one great grandchild. Now, I know you're out there saying, Brother Rice, I can't believe you're old enough to have grandchildren. I know. I don't look it, but it's true. I have grandchildren and one great grandson. All right. Now, I love Mary Rice. And I've loved Mary for a long time. And Mary is easy to love. And I really, sincerely love Mary. Now, does that make sense to you? If I said, I love Mary, would you go, wow, I mean, they've been married all this time. That's a shock. No, I love Mary. I think I could argue I love Mary as sincerely or more so, or as much or more so than when we were first married. I love Mary Rice. Okay, you got it? Okay. I've known Kurt since he was, would it be four, Kurt? 4 years old, maybe? You don't remember, because when he was four, he really couldn't think at four. He started that at 17, and he's 18. All right. So I've known Kurt most of his life. Now, this is the truth, and I'm not being silly. I love Kurt Haynes. And do you think that's okay? You think it's fine? In other words, if I say to you, I love Kurt, would that make sense to you? If I said to you, I love Troy Carlson, would that make sense to you? Okay, so let's back up. I love Mary Rice. Does that make sense? I love Kurt Haynes. Does that make sense? Okay, number two, I hold hands with Mary. Now, are you getting worried a little bit? Are you? All right. I hold hands with Mary. You say, well, what about Kurt? I do not hold hands with Kurt. No. I barely shake hands with Kurt. I mean, if I see Kurt, I say, hey, how you doing? And slap him in the back. I'm not really interested in holding. Have you ever eaten in a home where when they pray, they hold hands? Let me tell you a secret. This is true. I'm not making this up. Mary and I have eaten in a lot of pastors' homes. And when we go to a pastor's home to eat, like Sunday after church, we go to eat. If I can, I seat myself. Because I don't want, now this is the truth, I don't want to sit next to the pastor. All right, you say, why not? Well, because some pastors, when they thank the Lord for the food, they say, and now let us pray. And everybody around the table holds hands. You've ever been in a house like that? And if I'm sitting next to the pastor, I have to hold hands with the pastor. There are few things worse in one's life than holding hands with a pastor. I don't know why this is, but pastors, you know, pastors don't farm and they don't work in steel mills and stuff. And pastors, I'm sorry to say this, but it's true. Their hands are squishy. All right, so now if the pastor's wife says, Brother Bill, you're sitting right here next to my husband. I mean, I'm a guest, and so I go fine. But I say, Dear Lord, make the prayer as short as possible. If they ask me to pray, I say, thank you for the food. Amen. Let's see. All right. So I do not hold hands with Kurt. Does that make sense? All right. I love Mary. Sensible? I love Kurt. Sensible? I hold hands with Mary. Sensible? Now you tell me, why do I hold hands with Mary? Because I love her. I even hugged Mary once. All right. So I do not hold hands with Kurt. Now, don't say it out loud because you may miss it. All right. I hold hands with Mary because I... All right. Why do I not hold hands with Kurt? Because I love him. Because by definition, love is doing what's... Okay. So it's right to hold hands with Mary. It's not right to hold hands with Kurt. And am I ever thankful for that? All right. Now, you following this? Okay. So I was watching the news. This is about 10 years ago. And there were two ladies that were in a line to go into a governmental office to get a marriage license. There were two ladies that were going to get a marriage license because they were getting married. So the reporter asked the ladies, "Why are you ladies getting married?" And here was their answer: "Because we love each other." Okay, is that correct? And the answer is no. Now, why not? Let's just stop here for a second. Because the Bible says, "For this cause," now listen, "for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife," a word that means woman. "A man, for this cause, marriage, shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." That's in the first opening verses of Genesis. In Matthew 19, Jesus referred to that and said, quote, "What man or what God hath brought together, let not man put asunder." So, listen, marriage is one man, one woman, one life. Well, you say, yeah, but doesn't the state allow a man to marry a man? Yes. And doesn't the state say that a man and a man can be married? Yes. But if you're talking to me about marriage, I would rather know what the creator of marriage thinks, not what the state thinks. Are you following this? Because the state says it's okay to abort babies. The state says you can wreck a college and face no punishment for it. So, I'm all about obeying, and I'm all about living in under the law in the state. But if you're asking me about love, and if you're asking me about marriage, I'd rather know what God says. Okay, so here's two ladies, and when asked, "Why do you want to get married?" their answer is, "Because we love each other." I have a dog. She's just a little more than a year old. Her name is Molly. She's here this week. And if you said, "Do you love your dog?" I would say, "Well, yes, I love my dog." Okay, but I've never thought about marrying my dog. Now, there are people that have, quote, married animals. In fact, I remember reading about a lady in Oregon that married a bridge. Okay, now listen. If God doesn't set the standard of right and wrong, and if we don't know what marriage is because of what God says, you're in this kind of mess where anything comes and anything goes. First illustration, two women, we're getting married. Why are you getting married? Because we're in love. To which I say, nonsense. All right, story number two. Here's a guy, and he's 19. He's a nice guy. Here's a girl, and she's 18. She's a nice girl. They're both in your church, and they're sweet kids. They've been going together about 4 or 5 months, and we find out that the girl is with child. They're not married. They're not even engaged. They've been going together for a few months, and she's pregnant. I hate to use that word, but it's proper. So she's with child. She's pregnant. Okay, so somebody says to the guy, "Hey, what's the deal here? You're not married. She's with child." And he says, "We couldn't help ourselves. We are just so much in love." Now you look at me and you listen to this. If you really love that girl, you'd keep your grubby hands off. and she wouldn't be with child. Don't tell me that you are in the middle of sin because of love. That is not only a lie, it's not logical, and it is certainly not scriptural. When you love somebody, you do what's right by that somebody, because love is doing what's right. You see how wonderful this is? When you take a Bible definition of love, it just answers 1,000 questions. See, a friend of yours does something wrong. Let's make it really severe, just to make the illustration understandable. He robs a, let's make it a 7, y'all have 7-Elevens here in northern Arizona. You have 7-Elevens? Okay, you know what a fast food 7-Eleven, okay, not much. Let's make it a Wendy's. You know what a Wendy's is, right? Okay. So at Wendy's, the cash drawer is open, and when the lady taking the money's not looking, he reaches in and he gets $40, and you see him do it. And somebody says, did you tell his parents? You say no. Did you tell the people at Wendy's? You say no. They say, well, did you tell police? You say, well, of course not. And they say, why not? And you say, because he's my friend. Aren't you supposed to love your friends? Don't you think you ought to love a friend? Then why in the world are you allowing him to sin? You say, well, I don't want to tell on my friend. Well, maybe that's true, but if you're telling me you don't want to tell on your friend, don't you tell me that you love him, because you don't. Because love is doing what's right. See, the whole deal about love is you're doing what's right. So somebody says, we're having a child. We're not married. Why is that happening? Because we're in love. We're getting married. We're both females. We're getting married. Why are you doing that? Because we're in love. He stole $40 out of the cash register at Wendy's, but I didn't stop it, nor did I tell his parents. Why? Because he's my friend and I love him. None of those are true. None of those are what love is. Love is always doing what's right. So let me ask you, if you love somebody, what will you do toward and for him? And the answer is what's right. So if you love your pastor, what would you do towards your pastor? What's right. If you love your parents, what would you do towards your parents? What's right. If you loved West Branch, now it's just an institution. This is not heaven. I do love it. I think it helps people see their need of heaven. I thank God for West Branch. But if you love West Branch, then you would do right toward West Branch. Look, don't come to me and say, I just love West Branch, and you're up and out of the cabin after lights out. You're either ignorant or you're lying. Because that's not what love is. See, when you love something or somebody, you always do right by them. And doing right by Mary is not the same as doing right by Kurt. And doing right by Kurt is not exactly the same as my doing right by Brother Troy. But the bottom line, and the same thing in each case, is if I love Brother Kurt, and if I love Brother Troy, and if I love Mary, I will in every case do right by them. Make sense? Okay, let's review and our time's gone, all right? Love does many things, four of which we've seen tonight from 1 Corinthians 13. So, number one, now help me out. You've heard this, so you should be able to say it, all right? Number one, love is kind, always. Number two, love is
humble.
Number three, love is all about
truth.
And number four, if you mention hope, and if you mention faith, and if you mention love, love is always the greatest. And while these show us what love does, none of them tell us what love is. But you go to Romans 13 in verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for love is fulfilling of the law. And then it goes through a list of the laws, and then it says, love worketh no ill to its neighbor, for love is the fulfilling of the law. So in our modern day English, help me out, love is, let's do it again. In our English, love is, that's exactly correct. Tomorrow, we will apply it to different people that we know in our lives. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for loving us. You've always done right by us. We know that. In fact, when it was right that all of us faced judgment, you made it so that it could be right for all of us to be welcomed into heaven who have trusted your Son. Thank you for loving us. Now, we know we're supposed to love others, and that's not easy for us, Lord, but help us to learn what love is so that we can live in our lives loving. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.